You should be warned, the upcoming episode will be full of unfiltered, off-the-cuff discussion. As such, you should consider this your spoiler warning.
Hello. Hello, my name is Kyle.
And I'm Ryan.
And when our powers combine, we form...
Experience Grind podcast.
The podcast where, for better or worse, for good or bad, we grind out every experience presented to us and then give you our brutally honest opinion on those experiences. Sometimes it's a lot more brutal than others. I don't know. So, hello, Ryan.
If only this was an episode about Brutal Legend, you could have had a brutal segue right in there.
Yeah. I pulled away, pulling my shoes on. Behind the scenes stuff. Whoa. So, hello, Ryan.
This will surely get edited, right?
No.
Sound engineer, Andy.
How you doing, buddy?
Doing good. How are you?
Good. We're back from a bit of a brief hiatus because you were moving and things were just a little bit hectic. So
a little bit.
We took a stop and things are a lot better now, though. So
I think we'll be back on a regular schedule
now. I'm looking forward to it. It was good. We got away. We came back strong with the Mother's Day episode.
Finish that up. That's
we just did that.
Good to cross it off our list.
Yeah. I mean, we fucking made that plan pretty early on, and we saw that to completion.
That's a great thing.
Both of our dads are jealous and also want in on that action.
So we just set ourselves up for two more episodes we're on the hook for.
So that's going to happen. So yeah. Surprise, we're going to have fathers on too now. That'll be fun, though.
Well, maybe.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. So let's go ahead, before we get into our fluff stuff, what is this episode going to be based about?
This episode's going to be about Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic for the original Xbox and PC.
Yep, and it's known very lovingly on the internet ethos as...
KOTOR.
KOTOR, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we'll probably be saying KOTOR because
it
works. Don't want to say five words.
It really does work really well to just say KOTOR. Yeah. I don't know anybody who doesn't just say KOTOR at this point anymore. And then when... there's people that have played it that are like, oh, yeah, Knights of the Old Republic. That's what you're talking about. Let's talk about it. It'll be something. I'm curious to get into what you're talking about. But we got some things we want to talk about first. I got two things I want to discuss. But before we get into that, I have a question that really it popped up in my mind over the weekend when I was at work. And I wrote it down. And I wanted to save it for this instance. It's really simple. It's totally based on your opinion. But in your opinion, what type of dude is worse?
Okay,
The guy that wears the water-based sandals with socks, or the guy that unironically still uses the shocker in pictures. So the shocker is this hand movement, this hand gesture.
Yeah, you should illustrate for the camera.
Which is also two in the pink, one in the stink.
Say, what does it mean, Kyle?
Yeah, that's called the shocker because you're...
I think the unironic shocker...
I do too.
That implies like a level of bro douche baggery. Right?
It peaked very early after it came out. And like people that are still doing it now in current year is just pathetic and sad. Like
I feel like the socks with the water sandals, like that could just be like an accent. Like that guy just doesn't know any better. Like that's ignorant, maybe not offensive. Like the shocker is just kind of like,
I wouldn't even say the shocker is offensive. About. The shocker's trying to be offensive.
It is.
It's very juvenile.
But that's yeah. I know exactly this guy. I know what he's about. I want no part of him.
Fair
Whereas,
enough,
like,
yeah.
I see sandal sock combo, and like,
you could still have a discussion with that guy. He's
what's going on here? This could be interesting. So, yeah, I think the shocker definitely takes it.
All right, so Ryan and I both agree on the douchebag still throwing shockers out in current year.
Yeah.
So I pose the question to listeners and viewers: if you have an opinion on either of those, write us and let us know what is worse: socks with sandals guy, or current year shocker symbol guy.
And if you are one of those, unsubscribe.
Yeah.
Stop listening to
us. Or even better, send us a picture and tag us. That would be great.
No, don't do that because I don't want to see those pictures. That's work I don't want to do.
I want to see all those pictures.
Send them to Kyle at experiencegrindpodcast.com.
Yeah. Yeah. So other than that, you know, a big thing is happening currently right now. over in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. It is the annual Electronic Entertainment Expo.
Yeah.
Otherwise known as E3.
I was trying to think of something clever to undercut that, and I couldn't.
Three.
Like, what else is big that's going on in LA that's not big as an ironic joke, but I couldn't think of anything.
Oh. I don't know where you're going with this either.
Yeah.
You're not on the ball, man. You need to drink more Andre champagne.
Well, I don't know if that's the trick.
It's the trick. Andre California champagne for when you can't think of anything better to say.
Keep it hashtag epic with Andre.
Oh, we're bringing that back. Andre, pay us.
Just a blatant ask for money.
Yeah, you good. Owe us advertising bucks, B-U-X. That's how man. It goes. That's,
all right, so that's how you me, get it. Tell me, what's worse, a guy unironically doing... hash or the shocker up, or somebody who says bucks B-U-X.
Is it, how would you know unless he was an absolute douchebag who tells you that, like, yeah, that's B-U-X, that's the way I just said that.
I know that you made it a specific
yeah
point.
I know I did I, that's yeah
a, I don't know
still shocker douchebag.
I think you're doing it ironically closely. But somebody who does it unironically,
yeah,
who has to like specify like an X or like a Z instead of an S, might be more douchebag.
It's not 1998 anymore. We don't spell extreme with just an X.
But how else do you spell biscuit then?
Limp?
Yeah, without a Z.
That's true, man. I don't know. We're getting off rails. I want to talk about E3 with you because you're miserable about it. And I want to get this out of the way.
Okay. So, yeah. I'm a big fan of E3. It's like the mecca for gamers. Like it's the one week of the year. It's like nerd Christmas, where you get excited and hyped about like all these games coming out. And for the last 2 or 3 years, like they've been streaming all the press conferences live and
on YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's fantastic because I've never been able to go to E3. I would love to, maybe not anymore, but
still pushing for next year.
I think it's, well, yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Companies are leaving. It seems like it's having some troubles. We'll see where it goes. But that's here nor there. That has nothing here. But like these press conferences, like I'd watch like at work and just like consume like 10, 12, 15 hours of all this information. Like last year I was so excited. Like I went out and I was like, I'm glad I don't have any spare change because I just go out and buy like so many games. I'm just like in love with games right now. And this year has left me so ambivalent towards gaming. And I don't know if it's because of all the news of like these half console generations, like the Xbox One S and the PlayStation Neo. And what is it? Is it the Spectre or what the Project Spectre? What's
yeah,
the new,
for the new the Xbox, new Xbox, the 4K,
that's
yeah.
the 4K one. I don't fucking care about that. I don't like that.
It's really fucking soon.
It's too soon.
Yeah, it's too kind soon of because, a slap to the face for everybody who was early yeah. adopters and.
Well, even that, like...
why didn't you wait another year and
I would
give
just
us
say,
this
like,
tech?
There haven't been good games except for, like, the last 2 years. Like, this current generation was a little disappointing out of the gate, and it took, like, 2 years to start getting good. Like, I would say...
it did take longer. I mean, usually, always console launches, they're rough.
They're rough, but, they're, like...
it's not good
it
to adopt early.
Stretch.
Yeah. Usually, like, you got something coming out within... yeah. the year, and then things really start to steamroll. But even still now, there's just been this slow trickle of yeah. things. Like, I totally agree with you there. It's it's harder to get excited about things when there's less
yeah.
to be excited about.
There's less to be excited, and it just seems like an overwhelming sense of the industry does not know what it's doing. It's reacting right now.
Yeah.
Because AAA games, like, you wanted better graphics, customers, you got them, but at a cost because, you know, it's taking more manpower, it's taking more money to make these big AAA experiences, and you see, like, a bunch of studios closing and folding, like, left and right. Like, there have been so many staff closures, and it just seems like the industry doesn't know what to do, so they're just repeating ideas or,
yeah, and that
or
seems,
aping them. So
that seems to be the big thing, whereas, like, one thing works, so everybody jumps on that bandwagon, and then you just get a staleness. How many fucking cover-based shooters have you played since Gears of War launched?
So many.
Yeah.
So many.
That's the fucking standard. Mm-hmm. How many Call of Duty clones have you seen since Call of Duty yeah. exploded?
It's just been first-person shooter or just a shooter, I'll say.
A lot of it, yeah. A lot of it has been regurgitation instead of innovation. There are still some that do try to innovate and do different things. And then mm-hmm. because of the nature of the beast, a lot of times they're left to the side, yep. and then same thing happens. They close yep. or get absorbed, or you know, like BioWare getting eaten up by EA. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it kind of brought a great series that was weird and unique into more of a broad general vanilla to expose itself to more people, which at the end of that's what you're going to do as a giant yeah. company. You want to sell as many copies as possible.
We'll come back to the BioWare case specifically when we talk about KOTOR later, because spoiler, it's a BioWare game mm-hmm. and we'll talk about how it compares to their more recent stuff. That part doesn't offend me as much. It does become kind of vanilla, and like Mass Effect did kind of turn into more of a shooter oriented. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. Well, we've already talked about Mass Effect 2. I argue it's a better game than Mass Effect 1, and it feels better to play, and I think that is thanks to EA. But, like, my issue more is that, like, everything becomes the same type of formula. I think the big thing now is, like, big open worlds. Yeah. That's what everything is becoming, and I think that really came to be illustrated with, like, the God of War reveal at E3 this year, which I was super excited because we talked before the show. I know we yeah. are both like huge fans of the God of War series. Mm-hmm. Like God of War 3 was like fucking mind blowing when yeah. it came
I'm
out.
I'm surprised it didn't make either of our lists, but I think it yeah. is still one of the best games, especially on the PS3 era.
Yeah, like, I would argue 1, 2, and 3 are all fantastic. Yeah,
they like, never
10 out of yeah, 10 games.
Absolutely. Like, they are amazing, perfect. Super fun.
For what they are.
But 3 is absolutely hands down the best of them. I think because of that next gen graphical yeah. leap too, it really just eases and lends itself to the storytelling. That's one way that like a company uses better graphics to their advantage. Like mm-hmm. they don't change things, but it lets you get more involved in the story.
Agreed.
To be a complete brutal prude. Well, I love when you're tearing Icarus's head off and you see like the skin of his neck like separate.
Oh, it's horrifying.
Oh, it's so awesome too at the same time. Like it yeah. is, it's fucking, you're yeah. wrapped up in that and you're watching that and just in awe, like holy fuck, man.
The way they were doing the buttons too, like I know everybody's like, ooh, quick time events. That's another thing that happens with this industry. It's the fad. It's like something happens and then like every game has to have it. And God of War did quick time events. Every fucking game had to do quick time events. Like I remember Spider-Man 3 when that came out. Like that
and
was
that ruined
so
it.
Focused
I
on
hated
quick time
them.
Events.
I hated it.
It
but
ruined the game.
I agree.
But the God of War 3 quick time events were fantastic.
To diverge, I'd like to come back to God of War, but you brought it up. Well,
yes.
Were you not excited about that new Spider-Man? Because I think that looks really fucking cool.
It is. You can check my Twitter. Like there are a handful of indie games. The only AAA title that got me excited was Spider-Man.
That game looks really fucking good.
It's something new. It's done by Insomniac.
Yep.
I'm saying new because we didn't know about it. Spider-Man games have existed. They've been garbage for like the last several years.
I think it was Spider-Man 2 was the last really good one. I think.
Spider-Man 2, and then there was Ultimate Spider-Man,
yeah.
which is like a... It was Spider-Man 2.
But with cel-shaded.
But with cel-shaded.
Yeah, I have that game. It's amazing.
Just as good. And that was the original Xbox PlayStation mm-hmm. 2 era. So it's been a long time since
we've been had a good one. Yeah, yeah, I agree.
But Insomniac's just been on a roll. Like, the Ratchet & Clank reboot has been doing gangbusters. I've not played it yet. I'm sure it's fantastic. If it's the same game but with better graphics, probably amazing. But they did Sunset Overdrive, and if Spider-Man is anywhere near as fun as Sunset Overdrive, you've got me.
Yeah,
like I'll pay $80 day one for a Spider-Man game that plays like Sunset Overdrive and feels that fun. I'm in.
Yeah, I think from, you know, it's hard to tell from a trailer until you play, but it looks like they've got what you want in a Spider-Man
yeah.
game.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited about that one too. So I'm glad to hear there is a silver lining to yeah. this cloud
and,
to you.
And
so.
Like I said, a bunch of the indie stuff I think is very fascinating. Like a We Happy Few looks incredible. It looks just like a new kind of take on Equilibrium or The Matrix. It's just it's this weird Bioshocky kind of feeling game where it's first person. Weird things are happening. You have to take joy, and it's all about these people being happy. And it's like I said, like very like Equilibrium. Like take your daily medicine. And it makes you feel better. But like this guy, your character stops taking it. And then you slowly start to see like what's actually going around. And it turns into a horror game.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
That, like, that could be really cool.
It. Yeah. But and that's like the big issue with this E3 specifically. That's all cinematic.
It was all hype. That's all this year was.
There's not a lot of gameplay.
You saw gameplay in God of War. You saw gameplay in that new open world zombie game. I can't think of the fucking name.
It's Days Gone, I think.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Again, a zombie game with the word day in it.
Which we don't need any more zombie games. Just fucking stop it. Stop please. The open world stuff. And stop the goddamn zombies. Like, it's not fucking cool. You've worn them to death like Nazis. Like, we don't need Nazi villains. We don't need zombie villains. Come up with a new idea.
I think vampires might be turning the corner.
Fucking fingers crossed for aliens. Like,
yeah, that'd be cool.
One of the very few VR games I am interested in is like a first person. I think it's for Oculus and Vive. But it's this first person thing where you are in a house. You have a kid. Aliens come to abduct you. Lights happen. Your kid goes missing. And then you have to deal with things in first person in VR. It sounds terrifying to me. Like, I don't know.
Are they grays?
Yes. Like, okay. They're like the classic aliens.
Yeah, those are fucking creepy.
And that fucking gets me.
Yeah.
That gets me. That gets me every time.
Grays are awful.
Yes.
I agree. Yeah.
What about you? Like, so I'm viewing this E3 pretty negatively, but yeah. What are you hyped about? Like, what has grabbed your attention with this?
Big, you know, I was really into, as I think we've kind of established, I'm very much, I didn't like to admit it, but I kind of admit it. I'm a Sony guy. I'm a fanboy. If you want to call me a fanboy, that's
especially
fine.
After this E3, you're kind of dumb if you're not.
Yeah.
Like, they consistently, their press conference brought out new games, like, fucking constantly. Whereas Xbox was like, it's literally everything you saw last year.
Yeah. Here, let us resell you all this stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sony had a lot of good stuff. They had that new God of War, mm-hmm. Which I get where you're coming from and not being super hype on it. Mm-hmm. I still want to give it a chance because it's two of my favorite things, which is God of War, and they've moved it into Norse mythology, which, as you brought up before we started recording, that also lends itself to a lot of other crazy things. Egyptian timelines with Kratos.
Right.
Kratos works in any prehistoric fucking time. He could do well anywhere. And this new character design, of course, he's got a really gnarly bitchin' beard. But he still looks like Kratos and he acts like Kratos. But it is a different gameplay style. It's more... It's a lot... It's like over-the-shoulder, third-person style.
Yeah.
But more open-worldy.
It doesn't seem as fast-paced.
Yeah.
And combo-centric, it seems...
Exactly, yeah. It's definitely not combo-centric.
It feels more like an Uncharted kind of brawler.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Which is not necessarily what I want, but like what it's doing, I'm sure people will be very, very happy for that game. And it looks
really fucking
gorgeous.
Cool,
like,
good.
It looks
yeah.
beautiful.
And there's a lot of cool, subtle... Like, I love that... His axe seems to operate the same way as Thor's hammer, where he throws it into that dude and then he punches the fuck out of this other dude and then just holds his hand out and it comes back to him. That was a really fucking cool touch. Mm-hmm. I'm anxious to see what happens down the road with it.
Yeah. I mean, well, from that trailer, we're given Kratos' son, which is like, oh, surprise, he's going to fucking die in the first 2 hours and then we're going to have a revenge mission on whatever. That's uninteresting.
Fucking gnats, man.
I know, right? I don't know. I had a thought and I lost it. I was too busy.
Because of the gnats?
Maybe.
Yeah, it's all right.
Maybe.
I was also really excited. I mean, there's not a lot new, but I'm very excited about Horizon Zero Dawn. Is that the name?
Yeah. Horizon Zero Dawn. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah.
Where it's like it's in the future, but it's prehistoric.
Yeah.
And machines are now like dinosaur-esque. And
yeah.
I mean, that's a cool idea. My one concern is that it's made by the people who did all of the...
Kill zones.
And mm-hmm. the kill zones for me have always been incredibly mediocre.
Yeah, that's what I'd say.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm
always,
excited
always
but reserved.
Always looked really
good. Yeah. They look amazing.
But mediocre.
But yeah, when you're into it, it's like...
Well, that's... And this is one of the other things, too, is like going into this E3, that would have been like one of my most anticipated games because like the trailer they showed last year, which was just like your main character taking this big, giant robotic dinosaur thing, like made out of machine parts, fucking hooked me. And then the gameplay they showed this year not only seemed worse, it seemed like a lot more jaggy. It seemed like there were frame rate issues. Like it was going it was chugging really badly. And then it just, what I saw was like, so you're giving me Far Cry. You're just giving me exactly, far cry Primal. Yeah. And just seeing kind of how repetitive it was.
It does seem to fall into that
mission,
that trope of open world shit where it's like, oh, collect these 20 berries too while you're at it if you want, because they're here and maybe somebody will want these. Yep. And also, oh, look, here's a creek that has these rocks that you could carry and make into arrowhead knives. Things like that. I get you.
It took me out.
Yeah.
So seeing that, it really de-escalated my hype. And now it's just like, if I get around to it, I'll play it. But I'm not super into it anymore.
Speaking of killing my hype, I didn't have any to begin with, and I know how they operate. I could not give a fuck about Watch Dogs 2.
I think I bought Watch Dogs for like $7 during a Black Friday sale for PS4, and I've still not played it.
I just remember all the Ubisoft bullshotting of the first Watch Dogs and how amazing the original E3 revealed looked. And then what we eventually got, and Ubisoft is notorious for overselling things graphically and engine-wise, and then always it's, under...
It seems just like a modern-day Assassin's Creed, and that's not very interesting to me as someone who has found the Assassin's Creed games very off-putting.
I don't like them at all.
Unfun.
Yeah, I don't like any of them.
I like some of the sci-fi twists they do in their narrative, but you have to put up with so much repetitive mission structure and just... bland missions at that. Like it's one of the weakest series, and that it's so popular blows my fucking mind. I don't know why people love it.
I don't either. It's again, maybe it's more akin because it's very vanilla.
It's so bland it doesn't offend anybody.
Exactly. I think that's maybe the big thing, and I think that's maybe what turns me off on it. I don't have an interest. It's like it's not my thing. So
I get that.
I got two more I'd like to discuss. One really briefly. It just came out and I saw it today, but the new Zelda. Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm very excited about. You're not so much. You're not a Zelda guy like I am.
I don't like Zelda.
Yeah.
It's never captured me. I've played several of them like for hours, and I've never gotten hooked. And this one, it's the same fucking thing. It's like, let's do an open world Zelda. And it's like, I don't fucking want that. I don't want these 40, 50 hour games that should only be like 10 to 15. Like, I'm an adult. I have so many responsibilities in my life. I don't have that time to commit to like 50 hour games released every week. Like, just...
it gets hard, man.
This is why I'm going to end up buying Doom, is because like, I know that game ends in 10 hours.
And I will tell you, you should buy Doom because Doom is amazing, man.
It's why I bought Uncharted day one, because I was like, I know that game ends. I know it's just a linear cinematic game. I want that right now.
I know we're planning to do an Uncharted episode, but I will just come out and flat tell you, I think Doom is way better than Uncharted. Fun-wise, enjoyment-wise, ride-wise, even though Uncharted has these big, exciting set pieces... fucking Doom kills, man. Doom is my game of the year right now.
I think Doom's going to be the more fun game to play, but there's just something so cinematic and engaging about the Uncharted story, and I love the characters and where they go, and I think Uncharted 4 could be considered game as art, but that's a topic we can have later.
Yeah,
and I do think it is, because of that, it is not as accessible as Doom, which is just like pick up, play, and fucking shoot some shit. Like
but there's a lot going on underneath Doom too. When you play it, you'll be.
See, I've not played it, so I'm talking just from what I've seen and heard.
There's a lot of cool stuff happening in Doom that, and it almost gives you those, you know, unlocks and upgrades, but at a pace to where you're not ever grinding for them, and they're happening and they feel natural. Like I hate that too. Like in like a Devil May Cry game where like. You start off really shitty, and then as you go on, you learn things, and then it changes the way you play, and it takes you out of the comfort. Like, you've grown into this comfort of, like, this combo system that you're using, and then it brings new things at you, but you're not ready for them.
Yeah.
I guess Doom doesn't do that. Like, I think you need to play it to understand what I'm trying to say here, but... yeah.
I get it. And it seems like a game perfectly catered to me. It just came out the same day as Uncharted. Yeah. And like, that's not even a Sophie's choice for me. That is not like, well, it's like saying like your kid's hanging off of a cliff. And so is this refrigerator. Which one do you want? Like, I'm going to fucking take Uncharted every time you put that choice to me. But I am very excited to get to Doom. What's the other game you had?
The other one, and it's a reserved one, but I've been really... I give this studio a lot of breaks, but it's the new one by Quantic Dream. Yes. David Cage. This game looks interesting as absolute fuck. Mm-hmm. It looks to not follow the same formula as their other games, which is good because I liked it in Heavy Rain. I was fucking burnt out on it on Two Souls.
Perfect. Beyond Two Souls.
Yeah, Beyond Two Souls. Just
a mess.
Yeah.
It was a mess. I won't say it's garbage. I won't say it's like horrible.
But it doesn't flow.
It was fucking very messy.
And I really like that the way that they're pushing it to me is that this game has multiple outcomes on every scenario. Yeah. And I like that. And there's multiple different good and bad ways these things can play out. Not just, oh, you got the bad ending. There's like four different bad ways and like five different good ways they can go. It's really cool.
It was a very smart trailer because it showed, like, for the people who didn't see it, it was...
And what is the name of it? I can't remember.
It's Detroit...
Yes.
Something something.
It's like Detroit something human.
Yeah, yeah.
Becoming human. I can't remember.
Detroit becoming human. That could be it.
Might be it.
But the scenario is, like, so this world has robots. Like Isaac...
Very Blade
like
Runner.
Isaac Asimov or Blade Runner. Yeah.
It reminded me very much of Blade Runner.
Yeah, yeah. That could be like their spiritual like successor, but it's you are a robot, you are a hostage negotiator, and then one of the AIs has turned bad, has taken a child hostage, and you have to talk them off a roof, and they have this child as leverage. Already that's pretty dramatic, but like they showed in the span of that trailer, like just that one scene, but like you said, like 30 ways it plays out, like you getting shot, you trying to shoot him, like you calling helicopters in or away to get him go. Like, you try to just reason with him and, like, all these different approaches. If they can pull this off and make a coherent narrative, you're looking at Game of the Year, maybe a Game of Generation.
It could be really cool.
That said, after Beyond Two Souls, I am shaken by them, and I don't trust them to do a coherent narrative. I think, at the very least, this game is going to have amazing set pieces and moments.
Yep.
I hope the story pulls together.
I agree. That's my E3 in a nutshell. It was very similar to me last year, although last year I feel was better just because...
I definitely did.
I mean, I don't remember a lot from last year either. The only two I remember from last year was Horizon Zero Dawn's announcement and, of course, my giant boner for the Final Fantasy VII Remake actually seeing light of day.
Well, we also saw Doom. We got the Fallout announcement, Dishonored, like all this stuff. They announced so much, and it just seems like the new games that were announced this year were so few.
Yeah.
And I don't know, if you don't mind, real quick, I just want to throw out three honorable mentions
that, go ahead.
Like,
yeah,
things I did like in this E3, because I don't want to be gloomy pants McGee over here. Scalebound is an Xbox One exclusive from Platinum Games, and
which
I fucking love Platinum Games.
If there's gonna be anything that makes me get an Xbox One, it's going to be Scalebound by Platinum fucking Games.
It looks like a Platinum Games version of Monster Hunter.
With dragons.
Four-player co-op, and you control dragons.
Yeah.
Like,
so I will... I don't know.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that they've got all this new tech coming out.
You get Windows 10, and it's a Windows 10 Xbox One crossover.
Yeah, that is true. But then you have to get Windows 10, and I've been putting it off for so long.
Windows 10 is... fine. It's stable. It's not bad. It's not like Windows 8. It's not Windows Vista. It's good. It's solid. It works. Not
all
the best.
Upgrade. Okay.
But I mean, all right. So I'm being super negative about Microsoft now. I'm not trying to be. It's fine. Is what I'm getting at.
Is it as good as 7?
It's as good as 7.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. It's not better.
I'll fucking upgrade.
You're not downgrading by going to it, but you're not getting much more.
I just didn't like. Why? I don't trust anything that's given to me free, air quotes. Like, what the fuck? So, okay.
I mean, I'll go ahead and say it. I bought a PC in Korea, and it had a pirated version of 7 on it. Well, I mean, the Koreans, silly Koreans. So when they gave me the free offer, I'm like, fuck yeah, I'll take a legitimate copy of 10 over this Korean 7 any day.
Fair enough.
But so Scalebound looks amazing to me.
Okay.
Cuphead, which is another Xbox One. It's the it's this 50s era Mickey Mouse animation platforming slash
okay.
It looks so cool. It looks like an alien hominid or Castle Crashers type of game.
Okay,
but it's done with cell animation, like right. The okay. Old school,
really. So hand drawn shit.
Yeah, like okay. Steamboat Willie era. A animations. Lot like
Odin's Fear, but not probably yeah. So in
but,
intricate.
But very cartoony.
Okay. Okay,
with very interesting designs. It's just it looks fucking different, and like that's enough to catch me nowadays. Like it looks different, so that looks fantastic. I have big hopes for that. And then my last one is Pyre by Supergiant, who did Transistor and Bastion.
Yeah,
and it looks like this weird role playing game with like another. It's like fantastic animation. Like it's just
yeah. I will always give those guys a shot.
God, their games are and them and Capybara Games, who did not Bro Force. Super Time Force Ultra Swords and Sorcery. I think these two studios just have like such a fucking vision in their games, and like even if they don't turn out the best, like they're worth playing.
I liked Bastion better than Transistor, but I know an equal amount of people that are the complete opposite and they like Transistor better.
I'm with you. I like Transistor, but
I'm not saying Transistor is bad.
Bastion was like a masterpiece.
It was so fucking fun and so cool. Yeah.
I love the Serenity style music, and that narrator was just so good.
On fucking point.
I love that game. Yeah, that was one game I finished and I was like, I'm going to play this again right away. Like I played that game like 4 times through. All in a row without playing any other game. Like, it caught me. Okay. So I'm hoping Pyre is like that. You know, like, a short but perfect experience. That's what I want.
Okay.
So those are my games.
So that's E3 for us. That'll wrap up our E3 talk. Yeah. And
I think we did a good job.
Yeah.
I wasn't as negative as I thought I was going to be. So that's good.
All right. Awesome. So we're back. Surprise, that was the bump music for this episode. And we kind of threw it in there because we took a pee break. So I'm just telling you everything right off the bat. I don't care. Yeah, I had to take a piss. It happens. And we threw the bump music in to hide that fact. And then I just pulled that curtain to the side like I'm the Wizard of Goddamn Oz.
Fucking see it all.
Love it. Right? Mm-hmm. So that was our bump music. So which track was this from the game KOTOR? I'm only going to call it KOTOR.
This is the main theme. Because all the other kind of music in this game is like your generic Star Wars. This is like the theme actually written for this game. It's okay.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I have to say about the music. It's okay.
I feel you're going to be saying that a lot.
Yeah.
From my preconceived notions of talking to you. So let's get it. This is KOTOR, Star Wars KOTOR. What console did you play this on?
I played this on the original Xbox.
Okay, so you busted out the old Xbox and you...
I didn't bust it out. I have it hooked up at all times. I love that original Xbox.
Love you.
It's fantastic. Microsoft has shat the bed since.
Yeah.
And they're disappointing me on a daily basis. But that original Xbox was so goddamn good. The best. It was the best. Like
when you had the S controller.
Yes, controller and just like the output, like all games were 480p, at least up to 1080p on like that generation was amazing.
It's pretty good stuff.
Yeah. They were ahead of the game and then now they're so far behind. Knights of the Old Republic.
Yes.
Before we start, I'm the one who wanted to talk about this. It is a BioWare game, as we talked about before, and I love BioWare.
This was the first one that got me into BioWare.
See,
this is when I first took notice.
This was the first one I played. I didn't finish it.
And back when it first came out.
I bought it for the Xbox because I was super into Xbox. This was an Xbox original, so like I had to buy it. It didn't hook me. I played maybe 3 hours, put it down, couldn't do it. Picked it up again, 2 hours, 3 hours, couldn't do it. And I just kept doing this, and I couldn't get through like it. And then it'd be like 2 or 3 months between playing, so I forgot what happened. So
gotta start over. Gotta start over. I know that feel.
But their next game, Jade Empire, which is also on the original Xbox, hooked me right away. Like I was super into the combat. It got me engaged immediately. And ever since, I've played every single BioWare game that's come out. Been such a big fan. And this has always been like on my list of shame that like I could never finish Knights of the Old Republic. Like, the one time I tried in between was maybe in, let's say, 2008, 2009, right before I went to Korea. I pulled out the old Xbox again, put it in, and my Xbox died. four hours into the game. So I was like, well, fuck it. It's just not meant to be. Not going to play it. Went to Korea, did whatever. And so we started this podcast to discover these old games and talk about stuff. And I was like, you know what, Kyle? I really want to do Knights of the Republic. Like, I just want to get it off my list. I want to go through it. And it's okay. It's not bad. It's not great. And a lot of the stuff I'm going to say, like, many people would say, oh, well, that's because you're playing it 10 years after it's come out. And I might disagree a little bit on a lot of those, because I do remember when this game came out in 2004, 2003, like, it was rough. Like, it was not a pretty looking game, even when it came out.
No, no.
There are frame rate issues galore. And I think some of the core mechanics are just kind of alienating, and they put up, like, almost an impenetrable wall. Like, this is not a game for casual players. I think it really leans into BioWare's history, because they kind of started, like, through Dungeons and Dragons, all these role-playing
games.
This
game has Dungeons and Dragons rules in the combat.
Oh, my God.
And
it
is very off-putting for people who don't understand that, because you're not in complete control during fights. Mm-hmm. Everything is happening on behind-the-scenes dice rolls on whether you're going to hit, what your damage is going to be.
Yeah.
So it's very off-putting. But on that note, it's crazy that that was your experience, because mine was nearly the exact opposite. Whereas I had KOTOR, and I fucking loved KOTOR. I've played this game almost, it's one of those up there, I've beaten this game so many times. Like, and compared to Jade Empire, when that came out, I had trouble getting into Jade Empire. It's crazy, but like, I was like, yeah, this is cool, but I want a fucking lightsaber. I want where are we at here, BioWare? Give me my fucking lightsaber. I want to go back into that world. Give me that shit. So it's just funny and unique that you and I had almost the complete 180 experiences on both these games.
That seems to be the case with this podcast.
And that is. And that's what makes this dynamic work really well.
And you're also not in the minority. I'm the minority on this one. I know KOTOR is like loved and praised by like fucking everyone, it seems like. And I
would also think, you know, I think just on the whole, I'm a slightly bigger Star Wars fan than you are.
Oh, for sure. You're not offending me by saying that you are.
That's just the way it is. And so, of course, I was completely enraptured in this game, and I loved it. I have, however, I know this is where we're going to differ. I've only played light side one time, buddy. And I know you played light side this time, did you not? All the way through? I always go dark side, man. I've always enjoyed the dark side of the Force.
I've got some thoughts on that. And fuck it, we'll just jump right into that. It's weird. It's very weird. And I'll follow up on this statement later and clarify it that it makes sense. But I think this game made me actively hate Jedis.
Yeah.
Their fucking rules are ridiculous.
And they are.
Which I will get into later. I have it marked. I will talk about that. But speaking of the good versus bad, like the light versus dark side stuff, like, yeah, in every game I go light side. And BioWare is notorious for that. Like, ever since this game, they've done, like, the good or bad, the Paragon or Renegade, like.
And the thing that I always like about them, and it ties in, it makes sense in the Star Wars universe, is that whatever side you lean towards changes your character. Mm-hmm. Like, if you go dark side, he gets sunken and dark veins start popping out and you look dark side, whereas light side you get brighter and your skin gets a glow and your hair almost gets like blonde highlights on certain characters that I remember. Same thing happens in Mass Effect.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mass Effect 2. I don't remember if there was any change in the first
one. I think
one.
It's very slight, but is it's definitely it? More okay. exaggerated in 2 and 3, especially when you get like the scars that start glowing.
Like the orange glowing.
It's scars. Really cool, man. So,
you know, it's all right. So the good and bad side, I think KOTOR is broken when it comes to like the good versus bad consequences. Because as somebody who does play like light side, there's no clear light side sometimes.
Yeah.
Like a lot of these decisions are kind of gray. And then you take this dumb Jedi code where you can't have passion, you can't have emotion. So like, if this villager is struggling for something, you can't automatically side with the villager who is obviously the downtrodden, like this slave. Like, you can't side with that. Like, in Mass Effect, like, if you're presented with a choice, it's very crystal clear what's a good, what's a bad, and then there's this bunch of neutral stuff in the middle. In this one, like, oftentimes I was punished and given dark side points for doing what I thought was the good thing.
The right thing.
But it's not the Jedi way, which is very logical and cold and almost like Spock from Star Trek.
Yeah.
And it's not fucking fun.
No.
So I think this really inhibited a lot of my fun in this game.
It's
getting frustrated with
it. I've always heard it classified that playing BioWare's KOTOR on light side is equivalent of the hard mode. Because it absolutely is. Because you don't get as much money. You end up giving a lot of your credits away and helping people. And it's really hard to play. So.
Yeah. No, it is. And this was the same way in Jade Empire. And they've fixed it since. But you're right. Like, the light side is the hard mode. But it's the actual game stuff, too. Like, a lot of these choices, if you go light side, you are tasked with this two-hour quest to go to this person, talk to them, get an item, and bring it to here. Whereas if you go dark side, you fucking kill somebody, and it's done. Like,
I love it, too.
2 minutes of work. So I think
it's either I kill somebody, or I harass them and make them give me more money to not kill them. And then half the time, I still fucking kill them.
Yeah.
Because it's dark side, baby. I don't give a shit. I'm going to fucking cut you down.
Yeah.
I got a double-bladed red lightsaber. What are you going to do? What are you going to fucking do? Nothing. You're a fucking peasant on Tatooine. Give me your credits.
Yep.
It's really outlaw cowboy style.
It is.
And that's the way I approach it, and I like that.
I think it would have been more fun for me if I did that, but then I also worry it would have shortened the game, maybe. And then I feel like I've seen a lot of the game that I would not necessarily have seen if I did dark side. And I think that's kind of broken. And that doesn't happen nowadays. Like, if you're bad at Mass Effect, you still have to do the same work you do on the light side. You just
get different results.
You get different results. Yeah, exactly. You make enemies that you wouldn't have. And I think that's more interesting, and I think that helps balance the game. Because, like, Jade Empire, I played through one time, and, like, literally, like, you don't have a final boss fight if you're bad. Like, you side with the guy, and you're turned into, like, I think a gold statue for your greed or something.
Yeah.
And you don't have a final boss fight. And it's like, well, what's the point of the game then?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm not playing a game at that point. So they've worked that out, and I'm glad they've worked it out. But, like, I also greatly prefer just, like, kind of how black and white the choices are. Like, I like knowing in the future sequels, like, the tone of what I'm saying and, like, how it's going to come across. Because you can read... So in this game, you're given choices when talking to people. 60, 70% of this game is just talking to characters.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right? And so, like, when you talk, you're given three text choices of what to say, sometimes more, sometimes less. And depending on how you read that in your head, like, your inflection, how you read that can dictate if it's a positive, if it's negative, if you're being sarcastic. So you could think, like, hey, I'm going to pick this because that's clearly, like, I'm being nice about it. And then your character says it and you sound like a dick and this guy is offended now. It's like, well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and yeah. There's a lot of reloading trial and error, very similar to the to this fucking Elder Scrolls series where it's like, I better quick save here because what's going to happen?
The Elder Scrolls, I will just say real quick, is one that has been very alienating to me.
Yep.
I've not played any of them, and I don't want to.
I got Skyrim, and then I was like, why did I fucking get this? I feel your pain on that one.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't... no.
Yeah.
But a nice little fact about this game. This game is the reason. I think if BioWare had not done Knights of the Old Republic, we would not have Mass Effect.
Oh, agreed.
For the reasons that BioWare absolutely fucking hated the fact that all of the alien dialogue had to be recorded in the actual alien tongue. So you get all these weird, like, when the fucking Wookiees are talking, it's just this endless looping sound of, and it's like the
for
same
two or three hours while you're on
Kashyyyk.
Kashyyyk, yeah.
And the dudes with the snake Helm. I can't think of their fucking race. But
I don't know.
Nathan, friend of the show, and I, we have. Know. Well, and he doesn't know, but him and I both played the shit out of this game. We are giant fans. But one of the things, when you talk to those guys, every sentence starts, they go, "Ka echuta," and we still fucking to this day will say that to each other for no reason other than the fact that every fucking sentence starts with that.
So, do you like that or do you dislike that?
At this point, I mean, I dislike that. It was funny. In the sense that, like, every time you're listening to a thing, that's how it's going to start. And it's so predictable.
But no, we, just like that. We got the enjoyment of it. In themselves, just like when you hear a Wookiee, it is that Wookiee talk.
I appreciate it, but I totally get why they, when they made their own alien races in Mass Effect, everybody speaks English just in a different
octave or tone.
Yes. Yeah. So it definitely works better story wise because
I kinda liked it, but I was playing this game when Laura was around and she got really fucking annoyed when I was
I could see it totally.
And the Wookiee just constantly like just grated her nerves. So
yeah, I could totally get that. It's I think a lot of it too is the limitations of the Xbox that you can't have 40 different dialogue styles so that they don't get annoying. There's really only like one or two, and that's why you hear
the same thing. They repeat voice actors.
Oh, absolutely.
Pretty frequently. Yeah. Like you'll hear like different citizen. Like there might be three different generic people, and you hear those three voices on every planet in different the entire game. Like you'll hear.
It's the same problem with Elder Scrolls. Yeah. When you have a 9,000, 10,000 page script, like.
You got to get through that many actors too.
You just got to get fucking through it and hope that, you know, people don't notice. But after a point, I totally. I really liked a lot of the things that do happen dark side wise on this game. And I also think, before I get into that, I think this was the first game that I ever remember playing where you can actually have romances with the characters. Right?
Interesting. I was not able to have any romance.
I think you can romance Bastula and Karth.
Well,
depending, because Bastula eventually turns dark side.
Yeah, which I thought was a weird twist. That but you can actually,
if you're good, you can turn her back to good. Did you do that?
I fucking tried.
Yeah.
And I reloaded several times, and there was just no way to fucking do it.
Yeah.
And I don't understand. I felt like that was a huge oversight.
It can happen. I know that it can. Yes, because that's a big thing.
It's like, then your game is not good. Then it's not intuitive enough. Like, because like when it happens in Mass Effect, when these big things happen, like I know it's my fault if Tali dies or not. Like, I know it's my fault that Legion leaves our team. Like, it's my fault. It's on me. When Bastila turned and I wasn't able to turn her back and I had to eventually fight her and put her down several times after I reloaded and tried to get her back, it felt like the game. It was like, well, it doesn't even involve me at this point. It's not
It can happen, I know, but it's one of the harder things in this game to do. That's
absurd.
But that's what I like, you know, another nice thing about going dark side is that we just fucking team up. Me and Bastila just kick ass across the galaxy after that point.
Bastila is also Jennifer Hale.
Yeah.
Shepard.
Yeah. And she fucking kills it as Bastila. Bastila is one of the great characters in this game.
I think she's
absolutely the standout.
There are, I'd say, three characters I care about in this game.
Bastila is not my favorite. I'll give you a guess who's my favorite. Bastila,
HK.
There he is, Bubby. God damn.
And Jolie.
Which one is Jolie?
Is the old black Jedi.
Oh, yeah. That's,
I love him.
It's basically fucking Samuel L. Jackson. Because he has the purple lightsaber.
A little bit. Yeah, he does. But he's kind of like an old veteran.
He's like a Yoda.
He's like Danny Glover. I'm too old for this shit.
Basically.
He doesn't care about you or your problems. He's like the reluctant like tag along. Like, they are fantastic. Everyone else in this game is super bland bullshit.
Yeah.
Like,
everybody hates Karth on this.
Karth, Mission, the fucking what? Zalbar. You got like a fucking droid, a utility droid, is one of your party members.
They try to make him like R2-D2, but fuck that guy. He's so annoying.
It's just the worst. Yeah. It's like, so the characters are not quite there. And I'll
who's the chick that has the Wookiee?
Mission. Mission Bao.
Yeah, Mission and then Bao. Who's the Wookiee?
Zalbar.
Yeah, okay. And I don't know if you know this, but a really cool thing that you can do dark side wise, and I always do it, it's so fucking brutal, is that the Wookiee owes a life debt to her and they're like best friends. But towards the end of the game, you take the life debt from the Wookiee and can fucking make him kill her.
Yeah.
And he has to do it. And he totally doesn't want to do it, but it's like, nah, you fucking, you do it. And it's so dark side. And I love that part because it's so perfectly fucking dark side of the Force.
That's such an interesting thing to do.
Yeah.
And that is...
It's so brutal.
Sorely missing from the light side of this game.
Yeah.
Nothing is interesting on the light side.
It's not. And coming from a guy, I've played both. The dark side is so much more fun and so much better story-wise. And I think part of that is also because, spoiler alert, the character you're playing is a dark Sith master.
Now, this was never spoiled to me. Like, in the years...
Really? So you just found this out?
And everything,
wow! Okay.
The Darth Revan twist that you are the Sith Lord from the beginning and you have amnesia and you forgot it and the Jedi is kind of trying to turn you against Malak. Didn't know this was happening.
Really fucking cool twist, though, right?
When that came about, like, I was like, oh my god, that's incredible.
Yeah.
That is worth... the 20 hours it took to get to this point, that's incredible. And then it kind of didn't really pay off at the end, which, again, might be like the light side thing. It might be a better payoff if you're dark side. But, like, what an interesting concept.
Yeah, it's really cool how they do that. Mm-hmm. I really liked it. It was pretty forward-thinking and mind-blowing when I first played this. Because I hadn't... This was before the internet was huge. So when that spoiler hits, that twist... It's fucking, you're like, what? It totally caught me off guard. I had no idea it was coming either. So I'm really glad you got to actually experience it.
Yeah, yeah.
And on that note, I really like the Darth Malak character. I like when you see him without the mask or without his lower jaw thing. And he's just got that gaping maw, very similar to Kane or Raziel from Soul Reaver.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's not the exact same, but it's just, it's weird that he doesn't have a lower jaw. It's fucking...
I was thinking Baron Umlaut from...
that also too, yes, and that's cool, because he's got the flopping tongue. And it's like, but no...
Which they probably took from KOTOR.
It very well could have been inspired KOTOR, of it, so. And the guy that created Venture Brothers is a giant nerd.
Oh, super nerd, so.
Love Venture Brothers.
All right, we'll take a break right here. Not really, Hartman, you're okay. Watch Venture Brothers.
If you haven't yet, good God.
Watch it.
It's like, so fucking good. It scratches every nerd itch.
Buy it. Yeah. Do something. It's phenomenal. It is a perfect cartoon.
Wait,
show.
Don't you do a Hank impression? Can I hear this?
On the spot.
Come on, I want to hear
it. Hank's rough, but I do the henchman.
Oh, come on. You gotta do it. No, dude, I can totally do Atomic comic collection. Oh, that's the worst. It's fucking great. I love when he gets the lightsaber at the yard sale and goes after Brock Sampson.
Oh, the yard sale episode's great.
Oh, that's one of my favorites, dude.
Oh, man.
It's so good. Yeah.
It,
you really should watch Venture Brothers if you have not yet at this point. I don't know how you haven't. But.
Maybe Experience Grind ventures out into TV series like in the future. And if we do, like,
I totally
that's
do
gonna
Venture.
Be one of our first shows. Yeah,
I would totally do all of Venture.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's right. So brilliant. But anyways, so... yeah, so this game is absolutely better dark side, I feel. You fight a fucking Rancor, which is cool. You fight a Krayt Dragon, which is cool.
It's cool, but this combat system, it took me...
It takes a while to get used
to get into it. Like, I would say...
If you're playing it right, you're also pausing
a
lot.
In the two-digit numbers, definitely was pausing from the get-go. But, like, in the two-digit numbers to get comfortable, like... 12, 13 hours before, like, I felt like I got the combat system. And that Rancor boss fight happens way before that point.
Yeah.
So, like, I was fucking struggling. And, like, it turned out to be the most anticlimactic thing, which was go in, throw a grenade, run out of the door. The Rancor can't follow you. Go in, throw a grenade, run out of the door. The Rancor can't follow you.
So
go in, throw a door.
It's very Dark Souls cheesy.
Fucking
I don't think I did. I don't think I beat it that way.
Well, I mean, I don't know how you were, and this game, it's not an RPG in the sense that you can grind.
Yeah,
really
you
level
can't
up.
Just get super high leveled.
But, like, you go in, and, like, even if you're, like, running through all your powers, like, the Rancor's a one-hit kill pretty much.
He's a pretty big beast.
And he can take you out like...
And this is true. Like, you would expect that from a Rancor.
Which, like, yeah, you should. But then, like, don't put that as, like, your first big boss in the game. Then maybe save that for later and build up to that. Like, there are bosses like Cal Nordo or something. Who's the bounty hunter who's chasing
you? Oh, I can't remember the name, but yeah. But, I know.
Like, do bosses like that. That boss was manageable. Like, that Rancor just seemed, like, cheap. Like, I honestly don't know how you could tackle that without cheesing it. I know you said you did, but, like, for me, like, I tried, and, like, it was stomping me. And I felt like there were several points in this game where there's just imbalances of...
And, again, you were playing light side, which is...
That is true.
Harder.
That is true.
What the fuck was I going to say? I had another point.
You're talking about you like the Rancor?
I like the Rancor. I like the Crate Dragon, and you get a Crate Dragon Pearl from that, which lends... I really like that you can make whatever fucking lightsaber you want. What lightsaber did you end up building?
I was a dual wielding two yellows.
Okay, really? Okay, cool.
Two yellows.
I mean, go ahead. I know you know what I played.
You were a Sith. You were double bladed red. Like,
there it is, buddy. There it is. I'm so fucking predictable. Yeah. But yeah, I did play a couple too with the... I like the dual wielding style.
Yeah.
With the purple and a red. Because purple is, it's skirting that edge, and it also just looks cool.
Yeah, I'm cool. I'll interject real quick and say I started this game, and if you don't know out there, like, I mostly do females in these role playing games, and usually the name I use is Quistis from Final Fantasy VIII. Like, for some
touché,
reason,
sir, touché.
Fucking, like, she caught my attention as a young boy. And so, like, it stuck with me. So, like, all my female names are usually Quistis. I was really, really drunk when I started this game, and I misspelled her name, and it was Quittis. There was no S. And so this entire fucking game, like, anytime I was in the menu, I'm just like, pull out my eyes
because
I'm, like,
hated
super
it?
OCD. I'm like, I fucking typo, but, like, I'm 5 hours in. Before I noticed, because I was drinking, I was like,
God damn it.
I can't put up with this. So, like, literally through the rest of the game, I just saw that typo. I'm just like, it's like ripping my face out. Like,
I really like the fact that even in combat as a Jedi, you're deflecting a lot of the shots that come at you and sending them back. And you can even focus that in as, like, a move you can do to focus it back and hit the guy. Shoot. That's really fucking cool.
It is.
I think as a whole, this is the most Star Wars game that has ever been made. You disagree? What do you think's better?
I mean,
please don't say Force Unleashed.
All right. I mean, if we're gonna go there, like, you can say whatever you want about Force Unleashed 2 being too short and whatever. But yeah, the Force Unleashed is a better Star Wars game.
It covers
everything. It's fun. It does the Force moves exactly like you like. I would say Star Wars Jedi Outcast and then Outcast 2 Jedi Academy.
The PC ones? Yeah, those are fucking great. And the main character's name is Kyle in those. Yeah, so
I would say any of the Rogue Squadron games are fantastic, except for the third one where you're on foot.
But those are different. Like, I will classify the Rogue Squad. The Rogue Squadrons are fucking amazing, I will agree, but they're all spaceship battles. It's not you as a Jedi. It's you as this giant X-Wing. I'm not disagreeing, but I'm just clarifying a bit. To me,
I would put the Battlefront games, and that's pretty contentious, but, like, when I play those, I feel like I'm in Star Wars.
Fair enough, yeah.
And this game, I felt like I was in a Star Wars role-playing book that somebody was translating into a video game for me. Like, I wasn't like, I'm a Jedi badass. Like, nope, I'm playing a game that is clearly based off of Star Wars. Like, it felt very distancing to me. Hmm. And I think a lot of that is, like, the mechanics that we talked about and, like, the D&D stuff, and I'm glad they got rid of that in the future games, and they got rid of that, because just the item screen is just...
It's annoying. The menu is fucking annoying. I will give you that. It's
really bad.
And, you know, I will freely admit, I'm sure a lot of this game for me is nostalgia.
I think for a lot of people.
Because especially, like, at that point in time, this game came out during a time when, like, I didn't have a job. I was a fucking teenager. Yeah. I didn't get to buy every fucking game I wanted. So, like, when you got a game, you played the fuck out of that game. Mm-hmm. So, as a Star Wars nerd, of course I got this, and I got fucking wrapped up in it, and I played it tons and tons, and I really enjoy it. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of cool things that happen.
Jedi Power Battles. I also really love Jedi Power
Battles. Was that the Wii one?
No, what the fuck is the Wii one?
There's a Wii Jedi game.
I think it was on PlayStation 1 and Dreamcast, but it was like the events of Episode 1, but it was like
that game is fucking awesome.
You could be Plo Koon.
Yeah, and you could be Mace Windu.
Yeah. You were like all these obscure Jedis. It was super cool.
That game was fucking awesome.
All right, so there we go.
Yeah, that game is great. Yeah,
that was
I would totally agree with you there. That game is fucking great. And I fucking love Pod Racer on the 64.
Yeah.
That game is fun as hell, man.
Yeah. A lot of people say the Super Series on the SNES, but like I always found those games to be like garbage. Like,
and they're really just, like, fucking hard.
Enemies thrown at you. It was artificial difficulty.
Yeah.
It's just like, let's make it as hard as possible to make the game last longer, because if you could actually play it, it'd be 2 hours because we didn't really put work into it. Sorry, fans of those games.
I don't know many fans of those games. I don't know many.
When the new Battlefront came out with like the four games if you ordered from the PlayStation 4.
Oh, really?
And that's what I got. Like, I got Super Star Wars, I think Bounty Hunter for the PlayStation 2.
Okay,
and some other games I've never heard of. But Super Star Wars was one, and people were losing their shit. Like, oh my god, Super Star Wars on the PS4. And like they were loving it. I was like, I fucking remember hating this game. And then I played it, and I was like, yep, this game controls like shit. I hate this game. It's not good. That's what I'm saying. If you like it, you're dumb shit. You're dumb shit.
I agree. I totally agree.
That's
Super Star Wars is terrible. So one of the things that always struck me weird in this series, and then I kind of enjoyed that it also...
I hate when I'm stricken weird.
I don't like it, but it also was kind of cool that it shows up in Episode 7. The magic space thing that is regular metal swords that are able to fight lightsabers.
Oh, the vibroblades.
Vibroblades. But these also make an appearance in Episode 7 with that dude with that wonky fucking wrist thing that fights Finn.
Well, at least they look like the Episode 7 stuff looks like it has like some kind of light energy.
One, the vibroblade does too. If you look, they're like segmented and they have that too. So it's like the same sort of thing.
I couldn't tell the resolution of the original Xbox port.
Yeah.
It looks
like it's really weird. And again, you know, I'm not super versed in the expanded universe. I don't know if this is actually a thing or was just something to make you able to fight regular dudes that aren't Jedi all the time. But it's definitely there, and it definitely it's weird because, goddammit, I got a lightsaber. I'm going to cut through fucking everything.
Yeah.
You're not going to stop me.
Well, the good thing is once you get a lightsaber, you can use the lightsaber for the rest of the game. The bad thing is this game has like an 8-hour introductory tutorial on the planet Terrace where you do have to use these vibro swords and everything. So, like, I don't know. This is where I got stuck, and like I felt the same kind of boredom playing through this time as well. It's like the game doesn't really start
until
hours. Like you have to invest 8 hours into the game before you finally go to the Jedi Council and you become a Jedi, and then that stuff becomes interesting. And then if you go light side, it immediately becomes uninteresting again because you're a fucking humorless monk that has no fun or no emotions. But I think this feels like a first game from a publisher.
Yeah.
And it's not. Like, they did the Baldur's Gate series, and I've not played them, but I hear Baldur's Gate 2 specifically is amazing.
Yeah, you hear nothing but good things. Yeah, so.
And this game just feels very amateurish. I appreciate it for what it does, and I can see, like...
It feels like a PC game that was ported to the Xbox.
Yeah.
Especially with that menu. That menu is a big giveaway to me that, like, I don't think this was designed for a controller.
It doesn't feel like it. You're right. And since they were doing Baldur's Gate and everything on the PC, that's
a
very viable option.
So I wonder if Microsoft threw a lot of money at them for Star Wars and was just like, hey, let's put this here.
Originally, I think they were given a bunch of money by Microsoft to make a Star Wars game exclusive to them, and they had a choice to either do something completely new and different or to do a tie into, I think, Attack of the Clones when it came out, and they chose to do something different.
Which is good.
Thank God.
Thank you.
They did that because the Attack of the Clone game that we got was really bad, and they just had to kind of throw it in for free with the Xboxes when it was coming out, but along with Tetris Worlds, which was, you know,
Tetris game. Nobody bought fucking Xbox for that. Everybody bought Xbox for Halo.
We don't need the Xbox version of Tetris.
No.
You
bought the Xbox for Halo.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
that's what you did.
Exactly. But Yeah, so there are issues with the pacing here, most notably at the beginning, and it gets a little bit better, but it's still like, I played this game in 2 to 3 hour sessions over the span of maybe a month or so, and like there were nights when I wouldn't have a single fucking fight.
Yeah,
where it's just literally talking, and you feel like you're not making any progress. And so, like, I'd go, like, two nights where I don't fight anybody, and then I get into a fight, and I'm like, oh, wait, what am I doing here? Oh, okay. And then I'd have to slowly get back into the combat again, and then it just was only combat for those 2 hours. And then the next gaming session was 4 hours of straight talking.
So what Jedi powers did you have as a light side user? Because I remember a lot of my dark side ones that were really fucking cool.
I did like the stun droid, like the disable stuff where you could like kind of freeze people and stun them. The disable droid would just immediately incapacitate and explode a droid, which is pretty great. I didn't do any of the push or throws. I did throw lightsaber.
I did throw lightsaber too. I love throw lightsaber.
Did not do chain lightning. Mostly it was all buffs. It was like knight speed or valor speed to make you move fast and take double turns. Something to give you better constitution, something to give you better lightsaber attack, something to give you like better resistance and defense. Like that's how it was. Like I was all defensive buffs mostly.
Okay. I was a very offensive based dark side guy. I would always start every fight. I'd start it from way far away because I had the Jedi jump or just the force jump. Mm-hmm. And I'd fucking just dive in and start fucking wrecking people. And I'd do flurry a lot and flurry hits many times very fast. And I had force lightning. I had push. It gives you a lot of really cool powers. And they do affect the gameplay.
A lot of them, though, are kind of restrictive.
Because
it is like literally like you have to do this if you're light side and then you can use these if you're dark side. Mm-hmm. I think maybe at a cost, like if you actually I don't know. Like I thought I remember you being able to pick a dark side if you're a light side. I don't think you can.
You can flirt with it a little because I remember as a dark side guy, I had heal.
Yeah,
even though heal is a light side ability, but
maybe it's something where you have like a double cost on it.
Yeah, I don't know if it's double cost or I think they're maybe more effective.
Okay.
I think I had heal, but it wasn't as effective as if I would have been a light side character. Mm-hmm. Same way with like force lightning for you, it probably did not have as big of an impact.
Yeah,
because you don't. I mean, it makes sense. You're not on that side of the force, so to tap into it, you're not going to fully get it. So,
mm-hmm. I was also reading a lot of this game, how you kind of do the combat. It goes. You're supposed to go back and forth between ranged and short range, like a close quarter combat. Did you do that? I kind of just was like, well, this character is going to be long range, and that's it. Like, they're rifles and blasters.
That's the way I would do it.
This person's going to be blasters, and that's that. But, like, I used the strategy guide for this because there were some times where I needed to know where to go because I take a week off and like, what the fuck am I even doing? So like I'm using this guide and they're like, well, this one, you're going to want to switch everybody to blasters or swords. I'm like, oh no, that's a lot of work. And this system's already very cumbersome. And I didn't do that.
I rolled in with two Jedi and then a long range person.
Exactly what I did.
And I had no problems.
It was me and Bastila and Karth, or me and Jolie and Karth.
It was usually me, Bastila, and the Wookiee.
Because
he would do my range stuff.
He had the bowcaster.
Don't you get a Mandalorian too, don't you?
Not unless Candorous is a Mandalorian.
That was two.
You fight Mandalorians. That might be the second one.
Maybe that was two. But I thought you got a Mandalorian.
No.
Hmm. Okay.
Nope.
Okay.
Also, Candorous is the stupidest fucking name. It's up there with Unobtainium.
I always thought like, it's just Carth Onassi was fucking stupid.
They're all dumb. Mission? Somebody's name is Mission? I just...
So speaking of all these dumb characters, let's go ahead. I don't know if you have anything else to discuss, but I have a high point I'd like to end our... KOTOR discussion on.
Covered everything. HK 57 and Jolie are
HK 47. That's what I want to end the podcast on. HK 47.
Yeah,
he's so much fucking fun, especially when you are dark side.
He's even fun if you are light side. Exactly, he's constantly like testing you, pushing you to do stuff.
Yeah,
and then you rebuff him and like the way he comes back at you is still fun and amusing.
He won't do it, but he hates on you for it if you're light side, because HK-47 was your droid when you were a dark Sith master. And so he's got very dark side tendencies to him. And he says he calls everybody who's living meatbags, which is amazing. And that's Bender from Futurama gets that. He calls people meatbags. And that's that's a call from HK-47, honestly.
I can see that.
But I don't know. He's just, he's fun. He's very comic relief.
Yeah.
But
whenever there's an option to do anything, he's first to be like, murder them. Yeah. Kill them all.
Why don't we shoot him? Maybe you could. Or, and he always, you know, he does that droid thing where he says, like, the emotion that he's bringing. He's like, inquisitive question, why don't we kill them and take all their money? Things like that. HK-47 is just, he's a fun character, and especially when you're dark side, because you feel just like two bros running around the galaxy. Just because he was your droid when you were the Darth Darth Revan, and to bring that back, it brings his character back in with you, and he's like, oh yeah, this is where we're supposed to be. Let's go fuck up the universe. And it's just, I don't know. I've always liked HK-47. He was such a fan favorite for no reason other than to just bring him back. He's in KOTOR 2.
Yeah.
Even though that game really has almost nothing to do with KOTOR 1. It's a complete...
I think it's HK-57.
What did I say? I swear it's 47. 47
sounds too close to AK-47, and I don't think they would be that blunt to make him HK-47, like the gun.
I'm going to look it up right now.
I feel like I took the notes. You're probably
right, because now I'm feeling it.
Oh, no. Is it 47?
It's HK-47!
Why the fuck did I write 57?
I knew it. I knew it.
Well, now I'm going to cross this off and write Ryan's a dumbass.
He's a hunter-killer. That's what HK stands for.
Dumbass. Okay. Wrote it down. I'm a dumbass.
So
that's then that's... HK-47 sounds too close to AK-47. I feel like that's lazy. It's lazy. But yeah, you're right. Like, he's a fantastic character, and I will, again, argue for Jolie. I think Jolie is really fun, too. And you have 2 out of 9 characters that are any fun at all, really. And I think most BioWare games after this, not Jade Empire, I think Jade Empire is also a little weak. Like, there are a few standouts, but it's mostly forgettable. Like, Mass Effect and Dragon Age, like, it's usually, like, if you have 9 characters, 8 of them are fantastic, and only one's, like, a weak link. But
I don't remember much. The only chick I remember from Dragon Age is the witch.
Morgan. And
you get that Kunari.
You get...
Is that right?
Oh my gosh, yeah, Kunari.
I can't believe I remember that.
Kunari is the race, but his name is something here. I don't know. But you get Shale, who's like the golem, who's just like kind of a pissy British woman who like hates birds and just...
I don't know. See, I didn't get very far into Dragon Age either.
You get Zevron, a very flamboyant thief who's hilarious. Like, there's a lot of great characters. And then I can talk about them. Knights of the Republic, I'm like, HK-47's great. And
Bastula.
Jolie's like a grumpy old man. Bastula's, you know, the...
She serves a purpose. I like Bastula.
I think her character arc is more interesting than she is as a character.
Fair enough. Okay.
And I think
maybe that's why she sticks out me. But yeah.
Yeah, her character is just stuffy British woman. That's it.
She is very British, though. I do like that.
Yes, she is. Yeah.
So, as a whole, would you recommend KOTOR in this day and age?
If you have not played it, no.
No?
Okay. No, I wouldn't. Unless you are a huge Star Wars fan, and it's kind of been like a missing piece that you want to fill.
At that point, unless you're 8 years old now, I don't know how you haven't played KOTOR yet.
And that's the thing, is I think if you missed it like I have, it's not really worth going in, especially if you know the twist. It's just not worth it. If you don't know the twist, I think you should. But at this point, if
you've listened to the episode, you've ruined it. You've been spoiled.
So don't play it. Yeah, I just think there are better Star Wars games. And I think there are also better BioWare games. And I think definitely the former one of those is not a popular opinion. I do think a lot of people say this is the best Star Wars game. I disagree.
Okay.
But
that's cool. I mean, it's all opinion. In fact, you know,
it's not a bad game. It's just a rough game, and it's aged.
I don't know if I would say it's the best. I would say it's my favorite Star Wars game.
Yeah.
So I'll say that. I cannot quantify the absolute best Star Wars game, but this one is my favorite, and the one out of all of them I would play again. So, yeah. So there we go. That's it for KOTOR.
My favorite Star Wars game is Jedi Bombad Battles. Super Bombad Racing. That's what it is.
That's what it is. And I wasn't going to help you. Racing. I didn't want to help you.
But Jar Jar is my favorite character. And it's, any game
if,
you can
if you don't
play
know what that
where
game
he
is,
drives a cart, it's yeah. the best.
It's Mario Kart with Star Wars characters.
Yeah.
And
I never played it.
They've got giant bobbleheads, and it's really fucking dumb.
That said, you did bring up Episode One Racer. That might be one of my favorites.
That is a really good game.
That might be one of my favorites.
That game is fucking amazing.
Or, I mean, if we're going to go... Except for the fact Shadows that, of the Empire, too. That's a nostalgia game that I don't think has aged well, and I will never go back to.
Oh, it's not aged well, no.
But I loved it when it came
we're
out.
We're talking 64. The Star Wars Racer has aged way better. Although, here's the one thing I never got. I think we've talked about this on the show. Why do the pod racers slip on ice on the ice stage?
Because of lazy programmers.
What justifiable reason in physics is there for a floating entity to slide on ice?
Well, I think you then have to break apart like how they're even floating and what's causing that ship, and then that will in itself break apart the logic.
Yeah, I don't know. It's so dumb. So, yeah. I don't know. Before we end this, you know, I'd like to get into another thing that is totally... encapsulated my life lately, Ryan. And it's not Max walking across the floor.
It is pegging. We are going to tell you all about this new trend sweeping the nation.
Man, I talked about pegging recently too, didn't I? It's like the fucking safe, weird, awkward
that's
joke.
That's why I said it.
It's true, though. Do you disagree with that or no? Yeah.
No, you're right. Yeah. You're completely right. That was a very astute... I think it was a tweet, and it's very astute.
Yeah, it was that. I think I did tweet that. But yeah, that's...
Hashtag ignorant.
That's so dumb. Pegging. When you want to be weird, but you want to be safe... Put a pegging joke in your movie or TV show. It's fucking everywhere right now.
Yeah.
But no, I'd like to talk about... I've not played a lot of the games on my list, which I should be playing, because I've been playing Final Fantasy XIV, A Realm Reborn.
I've been playing the games I'm supposed to be playing.
Yeah, you have. So you're a much better host than me right now. So, but I've been playing this game with a group of other podcasters, and we have a guild full of podcasters and a couple musicians... from all around the world. But it's been a lot of fucking fun, man. I played Final Fantasy XIV, A Realm Reborn, like when it came out like 2 years ago. And I played it for a good while and I just couldn't get into it. Yeah. I think a lot of it was that I was playing it by myself. And you can group up with people to do certain things. But as a whole, I mean, you're not experiencing it together. But now... We have this guild full of people that are just, we're all very similar and we're all very silly and we're having a lot of fun with it. And it's been a fucking treat, man. To the fact that like just today I ordered the expansion for it. Cause I'm already to the point to where I hit level 48 earlier today. The level cap is 50 in Realm Reborn. So it was either shit or get off the pot time. And I know that me...
And you shat.
I did shit. So I totally took a big shit and I bought it. So we're moving forward. But, you know, I'm playing it with a group of people. We got Dave from Tadpog is our guild leader.
Mm-hmm. This is a great podcast. You should check out Tadpog.
The name of our guild is the Adam Levine Fan Club.
Nice.
Which was named by this chick named Bailey, who is part of the Hops and Heroes podcast with her boyfriend Drew.
Okay.
But she inadvertently named it. I guess she was talking about in junior high she had an Adam Levine fan club, I think, if I'm remembering this right. And she was talking about it on something with Dave, and Dave totally just stole it and renamed her guild that. And so that was some hashtag guild drama for a bit. It wasn't really, but it was fun. So we've got them in on it, and they're really cool people. I really like the Hops and Heroes. What they do is they... Very similar to us. They drink and they talk about a video game. We drink and
one video game per episode.
Generally, yeah. I know the big ones I really liked recently, Bailey played through Wind Waker. And I think that was a two-part episode. And that was really cool because she'd never played a Zelda. Not so much like you because you've played them.
But I've played maybe 5 hours of Wind Waker.
Yeah. Wind Waker is really cool.
I didn't have an issue with it. It just didn't capture me.
Fair enough. It's really weird that it's either going to get that itch or it's not.
Yeah.
And that's the way Zelda is. We're playing with Paul's one of the first one. His name's Paul Kluel, and he has the show What's Paul Playing Today, which Tadpog, especially in the early days, referenced a lot, and I used to watch his stuff back then. Usually plays just... And it was always coincidental because Tadpog would usually play something that Paul had already played. So, like, hey, we're talking about this, but if you want to check it out, you can go watch Paul play it. So, and Paul's really cool. I've kind of talked to him occasionally, but, and then we got some musicians up in there. A couple, I know we got a bass player. I do want to say, though, that I feel that me personally, I have the best name in the guild.
Which is?
My name, okay, so I have to preface it by when I started this game, I was going to play and make a bard, and a bard is a musician.
Okay.
So my character's name is Jeffrey Tambor Ean.
That's pretty great.
So after the tambor, there's a hyphen, and then it's I-N-E, so it's Jeffrey Tambourine.
As a George Michael fan, yes. Senior.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, of course, I'm a huge George Michael.
I approve of Jeffrey Tambourine.
Because everybody else in the guild has like really fantastical names that are very hard to pronounce, and we have a Facebook messaging group, which recently we just all discovered that we can make nicknames on, because thank God, because it's so hard to distinguish who is who. Until now, where we all have our nicknames in the Facebook group, and the Facebook group is full of just tons of shit posting and many GIFs, and it's just a lot of fun. But if there is anybody that is listening and you would like to join us, we welcome everybody to come play. If you want to get into any MMO, this is my first real MMO I've ever played outside of Phantasy Star Online.
Yeah,
I was never a WoW kid. Were you?
I'm not an MMO person.
No, I'm not really like either, but man, I am fucking having a lot of fun playing Final Fantasy XIV, and I think a lot of it is the company that we have. So we are on the Corel server, that's C-O-U-R-E-L, which is leopard style animals in Final Fantasy.
I did not know there were leopard style animals.
Yeah, they're a leopard, and they have like generally the really long whiskers that flow behind them, and they usually do lightning magic. If you saw one now, if you pull it up, you would be like, "Oh, that's a Corel."
Is it in other Final Fantasy games?
Yeah, it's like one of those staples. Like a behemoth is in all the Final Fantasies. Corels are in all of them. We're gonna look it up right now so you can see.
Well, you didn't have to do that.
No, it's gonna happen because I'm gonna feel like a weirdo talking about it if you don't know what I'm saying.
So while he's doing this, I'm going to again plug Tadpog, Hops and Heroes, and Paul Plays. What's Paul playing today?
Yes.
Those are apparently really good. I can only vouch for Tadpog I've listened to.
I've listened to all of them. Paul will probably kill me. I think Paul has a separate podcast too that's not just that, but I can't remember the name of it.
Okay.
I apologize. But if he listens to this and tells me, we will totally rectify that and tweet it out too. So. But yeah, you should really give all of those a listen. My first and big result into this was always, of course, Tadpog. That's what started all of this. Mm-hmm. Dave, you're the best. You're a really cool guy. Make me co-leader of this guild, and we'll do great things. I don't know where I'm going with that. So that's it. That's really all I want to say. I also said that I would talk about them and call them jerks, so you're all jerks. That's new guild drama.
It sounds like it.
Yeah, everybody's jerks. I'm not going to tell them to go fuck themselves because I don't feel that harshly.
I will say, if you don't know what a bard is and you had to have Kyle explain to you what a bard is, you can go fuck yourself.
I will say that. You do know what a bard is. They're very popular in all fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, you should know what a bard is.
They're not so, like in The Witcher and in the Elder Scrolls games, they're not as offensive. And when I say offensive, I don't mean like saying derogatory things in public. I mean, they're very essential to a party.
They're not aggro. They are more defensive. They're more buff based.
Yes, and that's what I am. But I'm the bard in Final Fantasy is very it's still DPS.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Because it's archer based. And when I get up to my
just like the bard from Hobbit.
Yeah. When I get to my upper level of stuff, though, I will have a bow and arrow that also has like a harp on the top, so that, and it like it's like compound and it folds, it like goes compact into the harp or switches into the bow. They look really fucking cool. It sounds stupid as hell to talk about here, but yeah. But I give out buffs and I do mad damage to peeps too. So if you would like to join us, we would love to have you. We've got some people that don't do anything podcast or music wise that just are friends of us too that play. So feel free to join us and we'd love to have you, and you'll hear a lot of dick and booby and fart jokes, which is what everybody wants in the world. So
it's some people.
Yeah.
Some people.
So then that, you know, let's break things up before we finally solidify this alternate dimension contact that we've had in the works. Let's go ahead and have you read off where other people can find us.
Oh, look at that. Make sound engineer Andy's life a little easier. So you can find us at facebook.com/experiencegrind. Find us at twitter.com/expgrindpodcast. www.experiencegrind.com is our website. You can find all of our episodes there, not just the most recent ones like iTunes sometimes does. Segway, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, all that kind of stuff. Anywhere you can find a podcast, you can find our stream. You can email us at experiencegrindpodcast@gmail.com. We check them, we'll respond to them. And you can finally find us at YouTube.
Yep.
We have some videos in twitch.tv/experiencegrind.
Which you should follow. I will be very soon starting my playthrough of Metal Gear Solid 2. Mm. And that should all be streamed live, and then it will be transferred to the YouTube channel. So I look very forward to that. I love that game. I can't wait to really get into it and break it down. So,
me too.
For the future episode based on that series or that game.
I think at this point we're just going to probably play through all of them.
I'm totally into that. Yeah. I mean, I'm totally into that. They're all great up until 5. And 5's okay. So, spoiler. So there we go, man. That's all I fucking got.
Yeah. I don't know.
We're going to wrap it there. Thank you, as always, everybody, for listening.
Put my hands awkwardly.
If you wave your arms in the air, if you just don't care, here we go. That's going to be it. We're out. Thank you, as always. Check us out. Find us and tell us to go fuck ourselves. Go fuck yourself. Grind out.